We blessed. We got the choir twice in the month of April.
Thank you so much. Oh, it's beautiful.
So here we are.
Here we are. Last week of the theme for the month, Dance with Divinity. So we talked all about stuff. We talked all about stuff this month. Right? The divine, we started off with the divine form and then dancing the dance, and Jennifer spoke to the spectacular you, which I loved. Last week we were taking care of business. Remember that? God, that was so great. Okay, so today we're exploring work, play, rest. Yay. Because it's about balance. Work, play, rest, right? It's about balance. We live our best lives when we are balanced. Work some, play some, get some rest, right? We have to have a balance between them. Remember the qualities of God, right? Abundance, balance, beauty, all the way down to the other end of the spectrum, wisdom and wholeness. And all of these qualities, think of all of these qualities on a continuum and not as dualities, right? And balance is one of those qualities. So we're not in balance or out of balance. We just have balance. We just have balance, and we exercise as much or as little of it. Interesting, we had our practitioner day retreat yesterday, and the theme that emerged from that retreat was balance. And so, you know, there's no surprise there. We all know that it's just this one, you know, universal mind. And so even though we were not in communication with each other, Billy and Paul, who were running the retreat, and in this talk, it was like we weren't in communication with each other, but we're all immersed in that one mind. So it absolutely came to the forefront, you know. They were all about balance yesterday. We're all about balance today. That's just the way it is. I have given up believing in coincidence. It's just one mind. It's just universal mind. So balance, that's what this is really about. Work, play, rest. So let's talk about work first. Things need to be done, right? I mean, we know this. Things need to be done. Your job requires you do something. You accomplish something, you build something, you figure something out, you solve something. You invent something. We all do work. We need to contribute something for which we are then compensated, right? There is an exchange of energy there. And that compensation provides for us shelter, food, necessities, luxuries, hopefully, you know? We do things in exchange for a medium that we then support ourselves with. And work is part of how we live. It's just part of our lives. You know, and the thing about it is we don't burn out by doing hard work. We burn out when we're not in balance. And so that's what we bring to our lives, work, play, rest. We have to have those things in balance or else we do burn out. You know, all work and no play, you know that? All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Do you remember that expression? God, that's been around. You know when that first appeared in writing? 1659. We have known that for a long time. All work and no play makes Jack a dull. You know, it took almost 200 years, but at some point, Maria Edgeworth added to it a second line. And it was in the 1800s. So all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And she added, all play and no work makes Jack a mere toy. Isn't that cute? Okay. So again, we're talking about being out of balance, you know? You can see that. It's about, anyway, so when we're out of balance when either one of those things occur, you know? So we can't just be all about the work. You know, when we are all work, again, when we are all work and no play, we begin to lose track of who the ultimate provider is. We begin to think we're source. When we are all work and no play, right, we got to do everything. It's all on us to do everything. You know, how many times have you heard, well, if I don't do it, how will it get done, right, at work? Or if I don't do it, who will? These are false beliefs we hold, okay? These are false beliefs. When we start overinflating our sense of self-importance because we are all work, oh, it'll never get done without me. I'm indispensable. Ask anyone in hospice care, and they will tell you, no one on his or her deathbed, ever regrets not spending more time at work. Bronnie Ware was a palliative care. She worked in palliative care for many, many years. And she wrote a book. And one of the things that she wrote when she was questioned about any regrets that people in her care had and on their deathbed, she said these common themes would emerge over and over again. And the five most common regrets of her dying patients were, I wished I had the courage to live my true, authentic self, not the self others expected me to be. The second was, I wished I hadn't worked so much. And the third regret was, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. I wished I had stayed in touch with my friends. And the fifth one, I wished I had let myself be happier. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be looking at the end of my life having any one of those regrets. So this is what balance brings to our lives. So we can live that life of no regret. Work, play, rest, balance, enjoy all of it. We have to get over the false idea, if I don't do it, who will? Or if I don't do it, it'll never get done. If you disappeared tomorrow, I guarantee you, your work would be taken up by someone else, and life would go on. When we practice balance, one of the things we do is we acknowledge spirit. We acknowledge that spirit is the source. Spirit is in the forefront. When we're practicing balance, we are giving that, we are acknowledging that we are not our own source, that there is the source of all life, and it is flowing through us. When we have to do it all by ourselves, we have mistakenly put ourselves in the role of cause, when if we look at the big, big picture from which all things flow, it's first cause, it's spirit. So we have to have these times of activity and inactivity, times of work and times of relaxation. And you know, the interesting part is when we live our lives in balance, we usually get everything done anyway. Haven't you noticed? It's like, oh, it's just the consciousness that we're bringing to whatever it is we're doing. We can be in overwhelm and be absolutely stressed and we have to do everything by ourselves and, and we get it all done. Or we can approach it peacefully and know everything gets done in its perfect time and do it and it gets done anyway. So it's the energy with which we bring to our work. Everything is infused with the energy with which we do it. So if we do it frantically, it's a frantic job. If we do it peacefully, it's a peaceful job. And you know, our faith tradition, no matter what it is, I mean ours in particular, but all faith traditions that I've read, they have always, given that we work some, we play some, we rest some, that there is a balance to life. Our faith tradition also says all life is good. It is good. No faith tradition says life is an endurance contest. You know, see if you can make it. No faith tradition in the world said that at all. In fact, and here's what Ernest Holmes said in A Thing Called You. He said, the spirit is happy, whole, free, filled with joy, eternal in its existence, and can provide you with everlasting expansion. All your highest hopes and dreams have come from it. The echo of its being is in your intellect. The voice of its unspoken word is in your mind. The feeling of its light and life is in your heart. And the emotion of its imagination is in your soul. Activity is the joy of life flowing through you. Isn't that the life you want to live? I love that. Activity is the joy of life flowing through you. Every religion, every faith tradition that I know of talks about balance, work some, play some, rest some, right? Every faith tradition I know of has some sacred time, called a Sabbath, call it whatever you want, but they call it a Sabbath, a time to refrain from work, resonate in the consciousness of the blessings we are given. That's really what the Sabbath is for, is to give us that time and space to just rest in the knowledge, in the consciousness of all of the good that we've been given. And you know, sometimes the Sabbath is connected to a certain day, or the setting of the sun, or the rising of the sun. Sometimes there are, you know, rules around when the Sabbath is, but honestly, it can be any day you make it. It can be any number of hours you make it. The important thing is that you make it, that you take that time to relax, to refresh, and to refill. You know, and to many, many, many of us, Sunday is the Sabbath. Not for me, but for many of you. I'm working. But for many of you, Sunday is the Sabbath. This is the time to relax, to refresh, to refill. And I'm sure there are those of you who are going to rush out of here right after this is over and go to work. There are plenty of people that go to work on Sunday. So some other day is your Sabbath. But you have to make it so. You have to have clear boundaries, and you have to make that time to renew, to refresh, to refill. Mine is Tuesday. I refresh and refill on Tuesdays. I try to stay out of the office on Tuesdays. I paint on Tuesdays. I go for long walks with Dolce, my Pomeranian. She's Dolce the diva dog. She and I walk together. I play tennis. I read things, books, whatever. No vision business stuff if I can help it, because Tuesday's my Sabbath. So we have to take that, and don't let yourself get hooked by it has to be a particular day of the week or it has to be a particular number of hours. It just needs to be dedicated time for us to be still, to renew, to refresh, to refill, to remember our source of life, the source of all of our good. If we're on all the time, and there is an increasing demand, isn't there, in the workforce for us to be on all the time. Now with all the social media and all the, you know, they can get you 24 hours a day. You've got to have your cell phone by you or your laptop or your tablet. You can be always, always on. And if we're on all the time, we don't know how to be off. Our adrenaline is always up, right? You're always on call. You're always available. Your work is like follows you around wherever you go. You see those horrible pictures with people at the, you know, with their kids at Disneyland and they're on the phone and they're walking around. It's like, no, you know, you've got to be off. If we are on all the time, if you're on call all the time, 24/7, then, you know, then your adrenaline is up. You're ready for work. You're not at work. You're at war. That's what being at war is. You're always alert. You're always on guard. You're always doing. You know, Wayne Muller wrote a book, Sabbath, Finding Rest, Renewal, and Delight in Our Busy Lives. And he said this. He said, the Sabbath is an instruction about how to feel the rhythm of time. Our heart and lungs are a rhythm. The tides of the earth and the seasons have a rhythm. Everything alive has a rhythm. And if we fall into the Sabbath rhythm, we fall into the rhythm of the heartbeat of the world. When we work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we live like people who are at war. We live in a wartime. What's the war about? Whom are we fighting? And how will we ever know if we've won? The Sabbath intentionality is to open up that space for listening to that which is most precious, nourishing, and deeply true, and letting ourselves be worked on and delighted and fed. And that's just joyous. And we can all do that. We can all do that. And that's why we gather here on Sundays. It's a Sabbath for many of us. It's time to relax, to renew, to refresh, to be fed, nourished spiritually, hopefully given something to contemplate on the rest of your day, some practical tools maybe to grow our spiritual practice, and then afterward to break bread together. That's an important part of what we do here. That shared meal together, that physical food, is equally as important as the spiritual nourishment, right? When you think about the Bible, where do you find the Christ? Where do we find the Christ, right? The Christ was found where two or more are gathered, right? The Christ was found among the least of us, and the Christ was found at the table. The Christ consciousness was found at the table. So that's why we gather together. That's why it's so important after service to break bread together, because this is where the Christ consciousness among us just resonates. You know, Luke, when you give a banquet, right? When you give a banquet, you invite everybody. That's what we do. And it reminds us, again, who the ultimate host is. The ultimate host is Source. It's not vision. It may be through vision. But the ultimate host is always Spirit, through us, as us. It brings us back again to the consciousness of first cause. We remember when we partake of these activities. So when we work, we have to remember who the ultimate provider is. When we rest, we remember who the ultimate host is. And when we play, we remember as well. So let's talk about play. Yay. Let's play. You know, Ernest Holmes said, there's such a thing as the game of life. I love that. And there must be a way to play it. We want to play it in such a way that when we go to bed at night, we will not carry too much of the cares of the day with us, making for a restless sleep. We want to wake in the morning refreshed, anticipating a day that will be wonderful and exhilarating. Right? Don't you want to wake up like that? Like, yay, yippee. Remember when you were a little kid and you used to like wake up in the morning and go, ah, I'm still here. This is cool, you know? And we were just all excited to wake up. Play is an important part of our lives. Play is like that. I mean, we don't have to lose it just because we grew up. According to Harvard has a health guide, and so online. According to Harvard's health guide, they say this, that playing is healthful for adults in several ways. First, it helps us relieve stress when we just participate in a game. Helps us reduce stress. It improves our brain function, right? If you're figuring it out, if you're playing puzzles, if you're playing chess, if you're doing board games, whatever. It improves our brain function. It stimulates our mind and it boosts creativity, right? Creativity. You find figure out different ways to do things. It improves your relationship. You're playing, you know, there's an interaction thing going on. And your connection to others, because it's normally a social activity. And it keeps you feeling young and energetic. Anybody at all resonate to any of this stuff when you play games, right? You play tennis, pickleball, what else, golf. I mean, we play games and it does. It keeps us engaged, it keeps us young, it keeps us active, it keeps us mentally stimulated. I'm contemplating bringing game night back to Vision. Anybody interested in a game night? Maybe we should bring that back. It was just a whole lot of fun. We need to do that again. But it keeps us engaged in this community, right? It raises our fun vibration. I mean, the vibration of just having fun with each other. We resonate with laughter and happiness. Those things are really, really important parts, aspects of play that we need to be engaged. It's important work. Playing is serious business. We really need to do more of it. No, I'm kidding. Well, you know what I mean. We need to do it. Play is something, here it is. Play is something that is done for its own sake. It's voluntary. It's pleasurable. It offers a sense of engagement. It takes you out of time. And the act itself is more important than the outcome. The act itself is more important than the outcome. For example, gambling, right? You know, we get together, we have fun, we play penny poker, you're good at cards, you're bad at cards, whatever. Whoever wins, who cares, it's all fun, pennies go back into the coffee can, right? I don't know, was it my family that only did that? Okay, anyway, gambling for the sole purpose of that big payoff, winning at all costs, upset by loss, angry when it doesn't work out that way, that's not play. You see the difference, right? Play is just for its own sake. It's to just relax and to let the stress go. Play is lifting. It's lifting. It's not stress-inducing. And play can be different for different people. It's like what you consider play is your own thing. You know, board games for some. Board games are a riot. I love board games. I just do. My husband, not so much. He's like, not into board games. You know, softball, tennis, kickball, puzzles. Everybody does something different, and it's what we consider play. And if it fulfills that for us, then that's play. It reduces our stresses, it improves our brain function, it stimulates our mind, it boosts our creativity. When I was in college, just for fun, because I really wanted to, I took out my calculus book and I solved all the questions at the end of every chapter. It was like, that was my fun. Those were my puzzles to solve, right? I was not the most popular girl in college. For me, that was fun. For me, that was play. I was a geek before the word was invented, I guess. I don't know, but I loved it. Play is different for different people. Some people love to do karaoke, right? Oh my God, not for me. Oh, good Lord. People would run screaming from the building. But for lots of people, right, it's karaoke, it's singing, it's playing music. Mark, you might play the piano or the accordion just for fun, like making up music, right? You do it because it's, again, relieves the stress, it increases the creativity, keeps you young and energetic. Playing is an important part of our lives. Work some, play some, rest some. Our dance of divinity includes all of it. That dance includes all of it. And the dance of divinity requires it, demands it, that we do a little of everything. And in order to do that, here's some helpful hints. You need to have clear boundaries. Remember when I was talking about my Tuesday? I have clear boundaries. Tuesday's my day off. Tuesday is not the day to do vision business. But it's time to do things that refresh, refill, renew. And you get to pick your day, whatever day that is. You get to pick your Sabbath. You get to pick your hours. So make clear boundaries. When you work, work. And give your full attention to it. And when you're off, be off. And give no attention to it. If you can. Make time for the Sabbath. Restful, peaceful, unstructured time. Unstructured time where you can just be. Be with life, be with joy, be with consciously, be with spirit. We're with spirit all the time, but when we're at work, a lot of times we forget, right? So be consciously with spirit and acknowledging the blessings that we already have. And then make time for play. Friends, family, joy, fun, activities. You know, do something different. We were talking yesterday at the retreat about the mindset, right? The beginner's brain. Learn something new. Play a new game you haven't played before. Do something new that you haven't done before. Curling lessons. I did take curling lessons. Oh my God, I loved it. Okay, things like that where you are learning something new and you're stimulating. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, I think each one of us is beholden to him or herself and to the world to live a normal, well-balanced, fruitful life, demonstrating to the fullest of our ability love and self-expression. The infinite has enough for all. And so it's not selfish to demonstrate joy and happiness and harmony and peace and love and beauty and friendship and right action. They already exist. And we must use them. They are qualities of God. They already exist. We must use them. He goes on to say, individually, we must look for the best, expect the best, and know the best is coming. What a wonderful affirmation that is, right? Just look for the best, expect the best, and know the best is coming. And then he said, it'll reduce the future generations we call stupid. I love him. Because their good was at hand and they failed to see it. That's what he says. It'll reduce the amount of future generations called stupid because their good was at hand and they failed to see it. And so that's what we're here to do. We're here to remember that spirit is the source of all things, whether we are at work or at play or at rest. Our source is always the divine. It is always that energy that has created the universe and is continuing to create. We get to co-create by aligning ourselves with that same energy. Whether we are co-creating at work, co-creating play, or co-creating rest, we are still using that energy, which is the energy of spirit. And by consciously directing it in all three areas, we absolutely align ourselves with the quality of God called balance. And when we're in balance, we are living, like Ernest Holmes said, we're living that ultimate experience of life. When we're in balance, we're firing on all cylinders. When we are in balance, we don't get burned out because life is forever an adventure. Thank you so much.